It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here in Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and studio with me, Don Wills, Wyoming State Libertarian Party Chair, in disagreement with me, which is what makes it fun. But, you know, I tell you, I want to play a segment. This is from The Gladiator, and it just – and I haven't played this in a while, but it just kind of gives you an idea. You know, the whole thing is politics is – it's the mob. You know, it always comes down to the opinion. All this other stuff is just a, you know, a mechanism by which to try and control the model. Let me tell you what politics always is. It's people. It's individuals out there acting. What they need to do is always put us in some kind of collective and have somebody speak for us. And let me tell you what I know throughout history, and I bet you know it too. Whenever the court jester, whenever their town crier, whenever Fox News, like there was a difference, whenever the media, the lamestream media, the media that sued last century, they get up and they say, this is it, this is a savior, this is the cure, this is it, this is it, that ain't it, okay? That's one thing I know. But, you know, has this always been like this?
Games. 150 days of games. It was cleverer than I thought.
Clever. The whole of Rome would be laughing at him. They weren't so afraid of his Praetorian.
Fear and wonder, a powerful combination.
You really think the people are going to be seduced by that?
I think he knows what Rome is. Rome is the mob.
You conjure magic for them and they'll be distracted. You take away their freedom and still they'll roar. The beating heart of Rome. It's not the marble of the Senate. It's the sand of the Colosseum. You bring them death. And they will love him for it.
Yes, they will. They will love him for it. It's not the marble of the Senate. It's the sand of the Colosseum. It's all the it's the show. They're going to the big show. And let me tell you who the big showman is. Man, for the LP, they want in their show. They want to take on their road show. They want their Carney Barker to be Wayne Allen Root, man. It's going, here's the big, really big, we're going to the show, the really big show. And it's not going to be, it's going to be foreign aid. You know, oh yeah, we got cut foreign aid except for Israel. You know, I mean, he's going to be a big Israel supporter. That's the first ring you got to kiss. Then you got, you know, the empire. We're going to bring in the horns. No. Got to have all the bases because, you know, America, MK, America, America. Okay? You know, Wayne's going to be talking Tea Party. I talk to Tea Parties. I've done thousands of people. I've done four Tea Parties just in Arizona. And I'm telling you, these guys can be approached with a principled libertarian. It's refreshing. They like it. They want it. Oh, my goodness. Somebody is doing it. And they're not playing politics, which is the best kind of politics to play, in my opinion. So go ahead and, you know, let's go ahead and get to the meat of this article.
Okay. Back to the point of this Rothfeld article.
Well, real quick, you know, this is a short segment.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and hold it for the next one, because in 40 seconds they're going to do it, and I don't want to get you in
the middle. I can do this in 40 seconds. There's basically two things that he knocks down very quickly, and they are that activism can make a difference in politics and that education can make a difference in politics. And Ernie, you're one of the best activists that exists. And our fan, our favorite, Ron Paul, is one of the best educators that exists. His point is that isn't sufficient to be able to make change in politics.
Well, what if I don't care about the politics? I want to change the people.
Why are you running for chair of the Libertarian Party?
Because free minds gives a side effect of politics being irrelevant.
And now, Live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and Don Wills. He's an independence declaring kind of guy, I imagine. And you don't even need to do it with us. You can do it on your own. You know what you don't need? Let me tell you what you don't need. You don't need a government form. You just do it all by yourself. I declare my independence. See how easy that was? Well, there's a mechanism you got to go through, according to Don. You know, you got to do something. You got to do it a special way. It's got to be structured. You got to have forms and stuff. So tell me about it, Don.
Libertarian Party. Is that forms and stuff? Is that your definition of forms and stuff?
Yes, it is.
I still don't get why you want to be chairman other than you don't want somebody else to be
chairman.
Free
the people. Free the people. Free them. You know, see, this is the one thing that, you know, we'll go into your document more, but there is something supposed in politics that is, I seen it in the 08 Ron Paul conventions. They would spend tens of millions of dollars just to give the impression that they had some kind of this grassroots, you know, Fox AstroTurf thing that was for free for Dr. Paul. I mean, this is what they do. They try and they'll put the right person out there. They'll get them a sign. They'll have them, you know, show enough leg or cleavage or, you know, poor or whatever the heck their message is, whatever color the people standing behind them. They'll do. I mean, it's all managed. OK. And it was really hard for McCain because they couldn't get anybody to come out for McCain. But they bring in Sarah Palin. Woohoo! You know, so I see this. What is not appreciated, and the reason why I'm doing this, it is not appreciated more than anywhere else. I mean, it should be appreciated more than anywhere else is inside the Libertarian Party, because the Libertarian activists are the ones that did the Levolution. They were the first ones I sent the signs to. They were the ones that did the videos. They were the backbone of this entire thing. And let me tell you who knows it. They know it. So when you got, you know, this argument that, you know, that doesn't really matter. That's not important. You need to be over here inside competing head to head with the Democrats and Republicans based on, you know, government forms that you got to fill out. And I'm going, you have lost so much perspective on the power of individual. All this other stuff, all this organization, all this stuff is a side effect. The Tea Party is a side effect of something else. So they always try and structure it, create a handle for it, and hold it up and say, this is ours. And I'm going, you know, this next generation with the internet and the direct communication, peer-to-peer stuff, they're not going to be contained like that and controlled. It's not going to work.
I agree. And absolutely, the independent or the non-affiliated is the key to...
Hell, the non-voters.
Well, non-voters aren't going to have an impact on
the
politics.
The hell they don't.
Not on politics. Electoral politics.
Really?
They couldn't care less. The elected politicians couldn't care less about somebody who doesn't vote.
They care about people that spend money. I guarantee freaking to you.
Well,
that.
No, you're talking about giving them money, donations.
The economy, where you spend money. What the heck do you think? You know, I got Nike out there all of a sudden being seen as communist. They're like going, you know, that'd probably be bad for business. You know what I mean? You can have enormous impact with just where you spend your money. It's called wallet voting.
Actually, this brings up one of the main points of the Rothfeld article.
Let me read it. Yeah. Give them money.
Okay.
The
point that one of the two big points that Rothfeld makes is, it's phrased like this. I'll just read it. The second and more important reason that education is key theory of politics fails is in the nature of politics and politicians, and here's why. And he has this table that he does a mind experiment asking you the question, how many people does it take to win an election? You say, well, I don't know, adults, okay?
No. Let's define that.
Yeah.
Win an election. What you're talking about is getting the larger number on a government computer-generated.
Okay, I'm not going to talk the conspiracy theory.
No. I mean, let's say it's accurate. I mean, what you're really looking for is this vote number who gets to hold an office. That's what he's saying here.
Right, and because the person who gets to hold the office, going back to his point on the beginning, is the person who makes the rules.
Really?
Yes, he does.
You think they're the boss?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate.
That's where we differ.
Well, it's unfortunate, but I've tried to ignore the boss a few times, and he comes after you.
No, it's the guy behind him. You know, to think that these legislators are the ones that are making these decisions when you got, you know, a red flex out of Australia that's doing the video surveillance and all this stuff.
Politicians. You're absolutely right. Generally, politicians don't have an original thought in their brain. All they care about is getting reelected.
It's a you're supporting a mechanism that allows to put these people in the office. You know, this is what they do. You know, I got a short piece for that.
Take it.
No, sir, no.
You must take it.
You cannot offer me this ring.
I'm giving it to you.
Don't tempt me, Frodo. I dare not take it. Not even to keep it safe. Understand, Frodo. I would use this ring from a desire to do good. But through me, it would wield a power too great and terrible to imagine.
But it cannot stay in the Shire.
No. No, it can't.
What must I do?
Get rid of the ring. Get rid of the ring. That's what you do. And the thing is, this whole getting rid of the ring is what's in locked in our head. It's what this whole education system of trillions of dollars over the years spent by the government to brainwash us into thinking that the ring is what's important. Who's going to wear the ring? We got to have the ring will always exist as long as it exists in our head. And that is my point. I'm going, look, this ring of power, that is the problem. Don't be advocating for, I want my turn, over here. I want the people to understand it's the ring that's the problem. I don't want to be am I going to go take an M16 and let's go take back the ring? No. What if I don't want the ring? Can I just ignore it? I can fix that ring thing in my head.
You can't ignore it, Ernie.
Yes, I can. Watch me.
They'll come and get you.
Oh yeah. I don't think they're out there defending the ring. That's for dang skippy.
They will come and get you, and they will take your piece of flesh to pay for
Absolutely.
Yes.
But how did they do that? By having the collective power to do it. And how did they get that? By the sanction of the people. Take the sanction away. That's why they do not like dealing with libertarians, activists, the Lovolution, people like Ventura, people that are just, this whole thing is screwed up. Because by defending the system, you know, or just a different version of the system, we need a different version of the system, you already advocated the freedom of the individual. You just advocated for a system. I need a good cage. I need a gilded cage with nice velvet. I want little benches in my cage, okay?
This gets to the anarchist.
I want to be able to call in hookers and pizza, okay?
Ernie,
then it's okay, cage.
Is government moral?
Hell no.
Okay, you see, that's an absolute answer, and generally, that's a true statement for governments that exist.
All right, give me governments that are moral.
I didn't say I was going to give you an example, but I am going to say is that I do believe that the founders, unlike what
founders of what? Declaration? Founder,
the framers,
Constitution?
Framers of the Constitution.
Scumbags.
Yeah, I know. You think that. I think they were actually well-intentioned people.
They wanted collective power. Must be called the Communist Manifesto.
They recognized
the power eminent domain, the power to tax, the power to regulate commerce. You know, they go, but we got these three branches. You know, what happens when they're aligned against the rights of the individual? You find yourself in a free speech zone. That's what happens.
They recognized that in the absence of some government that they had a prayer of controlling, something was going to spring up. It would probably going to be more mafia-like, more mob-like, more tyranny-like.
The Articles of Confederation was fine. Hamilton wanted to get central control, and the Articles of Confederation did not allow
for it. Articles of Confederation are fine with you. Am I getting you to say that government that government would have been okay?
I'm saying the Articles of Confederation was better than the Central Plan Collective.
I didn't disagree with you on that. I'm saying that a government is going to show up, and the fantasy of believing that
they
there is going to be
a central plan.
That the fantasy of believing that there is going to be a world without a government is just fantasy.
Let me tell you what my fantasy is that individuals understand that you are in charge of you. That, you know, you don't, if I go to you and I put my hand on your shoulder, Don, I go, whose life is this?
I'm only Whose life is it? I'm only 60% charge of me. They take the other 40% of my material wealth from me every year.
You already lost.
I wanted to stay out of jail.
See, they put there. I go to someone, certainly a libertarian, you'd hope they'd say it's my life. I mean, you don't consider it your life, or it's just part of your life? Or you're just negotiating for a larger percentage of your life? What is it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm trying to take back, and I'd like to get back to 95. I'm not going to get to perfection.
I'm 101!
I understand. 101! Ernie, that's not real.
See, this is the point that I try to make the audience. It's a state of mind. You know, declare your independence. I'm free.
And Ernie, from an activist point of view, you're absolutely right. That is the way you rally the troops. That is the way you make a point. That is absolutely the correct way to try to be an activist. However, politics is different than activism.
Let me tell you what. As national chair, I'm not advocating that you only own most of you. That's not going to happen. No. You free. Be free. Be free. And then let's go have some fun freeing some other minds. That's what it's going to take. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
How could I have missed the play?
It's because of the money. You believe money is power. Belief is power.
Just don't tell me we financed your operation.
The world is a wheel, Sharon.
Samir, the Quran preaches...
Do not think to me of the Quran, woman! First, you left me there in Iraq like a piece of... And then you take a leader, a holy man. You put him in prison for preaching the word of God. So now you have to learn the consequences of trying to tell to the world how to live.
Yeah, there's consequences. That's Annette Bening in the movie The Siege. We played some of Denzel Washington and Bruce Willis, some different interrogation scenes and so on in there. And this is towards the end where the guy's in the Turkish bath. He's kind of getting wrapped in his white cotton. He's going to go out and blow himself up, do whatever. And it's just all our little machinations overseas and how, let me tell you where the power of politics comes in. It's a gun in some sand heap somewhere. That's what happens. So we have to change us, or it'll always be that. You know, you always get war, you know, advocated by war. So what he was saying in there, the one part is you believe that money's power. He goes, no, belief is power. This is the point that I try to demonstrate over and over and over. Here in Arizona, we have the highest percentages for presidential, even though presidential candidates won't come campaign a day here. They get the highest libertarian percentages by, I don't know, 5-10 times, you know, other places on the average. So why? What was the reason? All of a sudden, Arizona, the Wall Street Journal calls Arizona the libertarian state. Why? What was the reason? It was because we took a hardcore, no compromise, we don't give a crap if you even vote method. I ran against John McCain in 2004 and got the highest three people in the race, a third party in the Republican and Democrat, got the highest in the nation. I get calls from everybody. How'd you do it? I go, I told people not to vote. Well, how does that work? You think that all of this power comes from people that being advocating that they go and participate in a process they know is broke. What happens if you tell them the truth? What happens if you go, look, man, this is the system is broke. You need to fix you. That for some reason that is not being advocated because the people that would tell you these things, you know, they don't get the money funneled to them. Charles, we need money. We need structure. We need. No, by the way, you don't mind if I manage it for you, and I'll be more than happy to do it for you for a slight fee.
Ernie, do you believe that money is the mother's milk of politics?
I believe that money will always, always attract itself to power. You want to eliminate the money in politics? Eliminate the power.
Oh, I agree completely.
No, corruption will always go. I mean, there is going to, you are never, ever, 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 ever going to outspend the big bad boys that want to use the collective power of government for their own ends.
Right.
You're never going to outdo them.
If for some reason we immediately got rid of the Commerce Clause and all of a sudden all sorts of things became off limits to federal jurisdiction, federal law, there would be a lot less money flooding into Washington, D.C.
Not with the tax system. The IRS, it's social and economic engineering. You know how many gazillions of dollars a corporation, well, a single corporation would spend to get one little line deleted or added on the IRS tax code?
Yeah.
You know, that's what happens. So you have to eliminate the power.
I understand, but you aren't going to eliminate the power. That's fantasy.
I am. I do it all the time.
No, you don't.
The heck I don't.
You do in your little world.
I do it in the world inside my head. I do it in the world inside other people's head and other people. And they do it to more people. And it gets to the point to where that's why you have revolutions. That's where they come from. It's from people just going, you know, we have liberty. You have revolution. You got liberty. Then you start getting in this structure and you kind of apathy and you sit back. Then it gets to dependence. Then you get to tyranny again. Then you get the revolution again. I mean, it's just, that's why they call it revolution. It goes round and round and round. And we are at the revolution part again, to where we are seeking, you know what? I choose not to be dependent. In fact, you can't be, because the government can't afford it. It's not going to happen. All this stuff is going. Every state is just, they're bleeding red ink like you wouldn't believe.
Oh,
Revenues have plummeted.
We've got a catastrophe coming down the road.
Coming.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a 50-degree angle downhill slope with a big, fully loaded iron ore train. There is no stopping it.
You know, I had a granddaughter a year ago, first grandchild, and I feel so guilty the world that I will end up leaving her. I remember in the 60s, I'm a child of the 60s, boomer generation, we were mad at our parents because we thought they messed up the world. And we said we were going to make a difference. Oops, we lied.
Why? Because you were of the mind that you're going to use government to do it.
Actually, I wasn't, but many were.
All of them. Many. You know, we need to have the power. We need to do the right thing. We need a good thing. We're going to, you know, and the big bad guys at the top are like, you know, okay, cool. We'll give you a little bit over here as long as we get to do whatever it is that they want, which is, you know, take your money for whatever fill in the blank reason. Then it's all accumulated in social and economic engineering with a tax code to put it in IRA, 401k, and some kind of pension money market. Then they said, ooh, all the money's over there. Guess what? It's ours now. Thanks for playing. And I'm going, look, what did you think was going to happen? So now we a totally different direction. We are not going to solve this with them. We are going to solve it with us, by ourselves, doing it our way.
Ernie, after the break, I'd like to get back to the big question, which is
big question.
Why do you want to be chairman of the LP?
Free minds! Free minds! We're going to free a bunch of minds. You watch. Yeah, keep doing it. You know, there's quite a few people that want me to help do that very thing. We'll be right back. Your independence of me, Ernest Hancock. Don Wills is in from Wyoming. Here, give me what fur. Give me what fur, because I need to be given what fur. So let's go ahead and talk about, all right, go, Don. He's so talking off the air.
We're question.
Mopping the blood off the walls. Go ahead.
Question. Why do you want to be chair of the Libertarian Party? Let me read the from the bylaws of the Libertarian Party, the purposes of the Libertarian Party, Article 3. It sounds like any other political party, and here it is. The party is organized to implement and give voice to the principles embodied in the Statement of Principles by functioning as a libertarian political entity separate and distinct from all other political parties and movements, semicolon, moving public policy in a libertarian direction by building a political party that elects libertarians to public office, semicolon, chartering affiliate parties throughout the United States and promoting their growth and activities, semicolon, nominating candidates for president and vice president of the United States and supporting party and affiliate party candidates for political office, semicolon, and here will be your favorite, and entering into public information activities.
Now, do you know where that phrase, that right there, exactly what you just read, do you know when that was added? And how?
No.
I know you don't. Let me tell you a little story. Statement of Principles. This takes 7/8 of libertarians in convention to change the statement of principles. They did this when they created the party back in the early 70s, and they said, just make no mistake, forever and ever and always amen into the future, we want to make it very clear why we created this party. Okay, here we go. We, the members of the Libertarian Party, challenge the cult of the omnipotent state and defend the rights of the individual. We hold that all individuals have the right to exercise sole dominion over their own lives and have the right to live in whatever manner they choose so long as they do not forcibly interfere with the equal right of others to live in whatever manner they choose. This is the reason, the statement of principles, we, the members of the Libertarian Party, challenge the cult of the omnipotent state. That has been a thorn in the side of guys exactly like you.
Actually, that's happened. Not true. My only problem with that is that the word cult.
The
I
adoration,
think is,
the worshiping of. I couldn't think of a better thing of worshiping this omnipotent, all-powerful God state. That's I love it. It's my favorite. It's the reason why I supported. I go, ooh, I like these guys. Right on. Let's go. And then they wanted to get guys like us out. And they succeeded. And let me tell you what they did.
No, go back to do the first step, which is they actually ran out guys that are even more Republican, more normal people. In 83, they ran out David Koch and Ed Crane. And so the anarchists had their way, actually, for about 30 years. And didn't accomplish squat, is my point.
Wow. This is you think it's more than a cultural thing. You think it's a vote. Everybody goes by the vote totals. This entire machine. In 1991, July 91, I got standing in 90, running for office. This is my first act of it. I did it on purpose. Just to get standing, I challenged 44 election laws in Arizona all the way to the Ninth Circuit.
That's this, activism at its finest, Ernie. I'm
no,
absolutely
the
with
reason
you.
That I did it is because I understood how the entire system was set against third parties, independent. I didn't even hear the word libertarian. I never even knew they existed when I did this. I was Republican. And I saw what I'm like, how in the heck are they able to do all this corruption? How in the heck were they able to pass the Omnibus Trade Competitiveness Act, which was the New World Order, before I even heard that? I'm going, look, I see what they're doing. They're a gang with a flag. I could see what Daddy Bush's administration was doing to my father's company, to being able to export, to be able to all the stuff they say they were for, they were against. And I go, how are they able to do this? It was election law. They eliminated competition before it started. And I go, oh, so I go after that. And then I came associated with libertarians and the rest is history. But the thing was, is that you're going, yeah, but they weren't able to accomplish it. Of course they weren't. It was designed that way. And you want to give credibility to the system.
Wait,
that's my point.
It was designed. Well, I don't understand what you're saying. What
politics.
What politics absolutely is the accumulation of power and the monopolization of power so nobody else could get it.
So let's be bad guys.
Yeah.
So my thing is, I'm going, look, when they did this, you know, the purpose of the Libertarian Party was a big, major effort of the, they called themselves the reformers. They were kind of, this is a little too rad. We got to make it clear. We're all about this education. No. We want to be about electing people to office because those people need campaign managers and staff and money and this and that. We want to do.
No.
Oh, the hell it wasn't, Don.
No.
Oh, yeah. Were you even there?
No.
So this is what happened is they had to get this in the bylaws to justify all this stuff exactly what you're talking about, which is exactly
so
why
you
I'm
disagree
running.
With the
absolutely.
Purpose.
You know, that's not, shouldn't be the focus. It is about telling the truth. It is about freeing minds. It is about understanding exactly what our principles are. We hold that all individuals have the right to exercise sole dominion over their own lives. And that is, I mean, what is, and we do that by playing in their system? Well, that's why I'm running. You want to know why I'm running? This is why I'm running. Against exactly what you're talking about, they brought that in, and here they came, all the politicos, and here comes war, and they want to turn it over in the Chilean sea bass tea party, and then they're going to have, you know, their conduit into another third war party. Hell no. The libertarian definition will rise up. It'll rise up inside the LP, and that's why I'm doing it.
Okay, so just to summarize, you're making the point that you absolutely disagree with the purpose of the Libertarian Party as stated in Article 3 of their bylaws.
I don't know. What did it say?
It said that the purpose is to
That's not the primary purpose. Freedom is a primary purpose. No, individual liberty.
That is your
individual
purpose.
Individual, damn Skippy it is.
And I agree with that. That's wonderful.
Else, you vote for me.
But that's
if you
not,
want me to be going on about all this other stuff is a side effect. That's the point that I'm making. Just because you make it part of your bylaws, claiming that the purpose of this party is to get candidates and elect people. And well, how the hell you think that happens? By saying it in your bylaws? Is that how it happens?
No.
Then well, how does it happen?
It happens with activists and education and passionate people like you.
Then I expect your vote.
who expect there to be a political party so they can go back to that point that Rothfeld makes, which is that politicians are going to make the rules and they're going to screw up your and my life. And we want to get much better politicians in charge. And the way that the Libertarian Party has decided to do that, not the way that you decided to do it, and I agree, activism is important, education is important, but it's like three legs of a stool. They're three separate endeavors. They're three separate actions, and the Libertarian Party is there to make pain for the GOP and the Democrats, maybe actually get a few people elected and change the discourse in legislative affairs, not on the streets and not in the education things. And they're different. They are complementary, but they're not the same.
Let me tell you what I believe that I know. I'm convinced. I may not be able to convince you, but hopefully I'm able to convince you that I'm convinced. Okay?
Absolutely.
I am convinced that you are never, ever, ever going to achieve your goal by already sacrificing the very essence of being an individual to the collective of the state, that you already put them at the top in charge. You just want to be in charge of the levers of power. You want to wear the ring. You want the control. Libertarians are about not being a slave, but also not being a master of slaves. I'm not smart enough. Dr. Paul made this very good argument. He goes, look, I'm not smart enough to run the economy. I'm not smart enough to socially and economically engineer everybody. I know this. I go in with this. This is what I advocate. And if you have a political party, a libertarian, an organization, a group, a brand, you know, a logo that advocates for you get to be in charge of you, I wonder if a few people might support that. Yes. They will.
What does support that mean?
With money?
Does that mean somebody's going to get elected?
With action? You're assuming they care.
What? Whoa. They support the party.
Really? You think all these tens of millions and hundreds of millions of dollars of effort and everything that went into the revolution behind Rob Paul, that all those people, the majority of those people, thought he was actually going to get elected to the nomination of the Republicans? Do you really think that? I mean, do you think those people are that delusional? Seriously?
No.
Why do you think they were doing it? Why?
Education.
They were going to get elected. Oh,
that's what Ron Paul's about.
And what kind of impact did that have?
Not much.
Oh, well, that's where we differ. All right.
So he doesn't think Ron Paul's.
Yeah, you don't think the revolution had that much of an impact?
No,
I get it.
Ron Paul came.
Expect the emails.
Ron Paul is. I was head of or very involved with him in Wyoming. I think Ron Paul's great. I've been following him since before 91. I actually paid attention to him back when he was a Libertarian candidate for president. So I think he's a wonderful person for educating people to the dangers of big government. He's absolutely great at it, okay? But the reality is, from a political and electoral point of view, he failed. He got fifth in New Hampshire, which is arguably the second most Libertarian state in the Union after Arizona, which is what your claim is.
God, you know,
electorate.
I don't see failed associated with that effort. I mean, I know people like you do. I mean, you're like, hey, man, you know, did you achieve your goal? Well, what was your goal? What their goal was? Heck, I remember when this first started, they were hoping that maybe they would be able to raise as much as, first it was three, then maybe five, and oh my goodness, we went double digits to $10 million, we'll be able to have a real campaign and get this liberty message out in the debates. That's all that was at stake. That's all.
Money is not an objective.
That was totally all that they were hoping for.
Yeah, but money is not an objective. The objective is education.
What, they didn't achieve that?
I think he did achieve some education. Yes, I do.
But how is it a failure? I'm still missing the point. Because I know that this is to my point. When you read the bylaws and what the mission of, which is recent, by the way, out of 40 years of Libertarian Party existence, 38 years, whatever it is, you know, the early 70s, 71, 72. From that point on, all of a sudden, the last few years, they added. You know what? We changed our mission statement. We're not about having a libertarian society and working and representing a. So we're about getting people elected. Now we're going to be about getting them elected. And I'm going by abandoning this over here, this advocacy for it down. Then why? You know why I ran in 2004? I started running for national chair because the National Libertarian Party kept forcing me on radio to have to make excuses for them when they started supporting the war in Afghanistan.
I agree.
And they started going there, going, "We're going to be a little mamby-pamby. We're going to put Bob Barr up there. Here's a guy with CIA. Here's a guy that's doing Defense of Marriage Act." When you got libertarians are like, "Man, you got the government defining marriage."
Ernie,
for
I'm with you. I'm with you, Ernie,
you got a
on
drug
all that.
Warrior. You got all this stuff going. I'm going, seriously. So you had both. It was Wayne Allyn Root and Bob Barr arguing over who was more neocon. And I'm going, you know, wow. You know what? We tried this. We tried it your way. We've been trying.
No. Bob, do not put me a label on me that I'm the Bob Barr, Wayne Allyn Root way. I am the real politic way. I understand that politics matters. Democratic senator from the state of Washington. She won the election. I've forgotten her name.
Doesn't matter.
She won the election in a very close election, I think, in 2008, by less than the margin of the Libertarian candidate, which if you believe the theory that 80% of Libertarian voters would vote for the GOP anyway, would have given a Cantwell surname, Senator Cantwell, would have given the Senate slot to the Republican in Washington. And one Senate slot is a big deal in the way our government.
And the difference is what?
The difference is that the Republicans hurt because the Libertarian made pain for them. And that's what I want to do through electoral politics.
You know, I see that that happens a lot. And as a matter of fact, J.D. Hayworth running against McCain right now, when he was running in 96 and 98, we had a Libertarian. It was 10 times the difference between the two. It was even with electronic voting, it was 2 weeks before they even knew who won. And what happened was, I went to church with J.D., and he goes like this. He goes, "Ernie, you know, if you guys keep doing this, you're going to give this seat to the Democrat." And I'm like, "Yeah, you're confusing me if someone thinks there's a difference." You know, I mean, and he turns purple and he goes into his McGill Gorilla, you know, act. But the thing is that I don't see a difference. There isn't a difference because it's all going to come down to the main number. I mean, if you wanted to know what is what, let me tell you the main number one things. What is your view on foreign aid to Israel? That is, man, way the heck up there. Then it's going to closely followed by foreign policy in the Middle East, which is kind of the same thing, and the bases overseas. I mean, all this other stuff is negotiable. I mean, you got Scott Brown, he wins in Massachusetts. Ooh, conservative. Within 24 hours, he goes, "Yeah, now we can actually start talking about the kind of health care universal that, you know, I can support." I'm like, and what did you think was going to happen? How many times did I tell you? Even before this, I was going, there is going to be a health care bucket of money. All they're arguing over is the plumbing. So you're in this politicking thing. Well, we got to get this guy in and cause pain here and put out. It's already decided. It's not decided is in our minds, changing us.
Ernie, if it's already decided, why are you bothering with the Libertarian
Party? To change
party?
Us! To have a force.
For give them, education.
It was, absolutely. Abso-freaking-lutely. And you think that
and
this
is not
all
for electoral
stuff,
politics.
All that stuff that you want in electoral politics is a side effect of people being active. You think it's not going to happen. I mean, you'll look at all of the structure that came out of the Levolution and you go, "Yeah, but it wasn't your primary goal, so it doesn't count." Really? Well, I'm telling you, this kind of activity, this is what, you know, the current chairs, they go to the meetings, they do, and they send a little blog thing, email and kind of announcement, and blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm doing? I go to all the states. I'm doing it in Pennsylvania. I go to the state convention. I'm giving them a class on how to make the signs and stuff. You were here last night. You see all the stuff that we do here.
And it's great.
You know, and what? The Libertarian Party can't use that? No. We need somebody to tell us about polls and how to fill out forms. That's what we need the Libertarian Party to do. We need somebody to give us a template and kind of sort of get our IT guys wrapped around the communication of sending out emails. How about get your ass out on the street? How about get out there and get rocking and rolling and whatnot? Because that is what's going to make a difference. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah! Feeling. Let's do with some factual information. You know, what's happened? When did it happen? Why did it happen? Who are the guys that are making it happen? You know, libertarian activists are, you know, a totally different breed. I'll agree with Don on that one. You know, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I get a little resistance here. You know, I'll just go over here. I'll tell you what it's like. I'll just give you a good word picture. I remember you see on the news and you had these anti-abortion activists. They would go to abortion clinics or so on, and they're not content with staying on the sidewalk and being legal and so on. They got to go to the door and get arrested and all that kind of stuff. Well, how they do it is they get on hands and knees and they start crawling. You have a line of 8, 9, 10, 20 people crawling towards the entrance. Well, you have police officers there, and they're instructed when they touch them, they stop. But then they don't have 20 officers, so anybody not being touched is crawling. He goes in and stops them, then the other guy starts crawling. They just keep crawling. Whenever they get resistance, they stop. And what I got from that, I'm going, oh, this is a good word picture, because whenever you come up against resistance of something, you just go, all right, I'll go over here. Or we'll have other action over here. Or I'll be over on the other side. I'll do it a different way, a perpendicular but relevant direction. I'm going to just, you know, I don't spend all my energy fighting the cop with the hand on my top of my head. You know, I'll go do something else. That's how activism works. And you can't do that with a mission statement that is totally about going up against a big giant cop with both hands on your shoulders, pressing you down with the left jackboot and the right jackboot or the jackboot on your throat party, got you down on the ground, saying what you can and can't do. You go, I'll just go over here. But they want to set the structure up in such a way that they take the jackboot and they place it on their throat and they lay down. They go, stand up and put some weight on it, please. And I'm going, why do you want to do that? That is not how you get the support from people. You be effective. You are not going to be effective that way. You may have that kind of effect in electoral politics by doing other stuff, by being outside the system, by making fun of it even, by enjoying it, having fun, doing activism, the street stuff. You want to know, be on Fox? I don't want to be in a tie sitting there, you know, blah, 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 blah. I want to be on Fox like we did with the Lovolution. That's when the Lovolution took off, was on Fox News, a guy standing on the corner holding that sign. That is what I want to see. Not my ugly mug up there going, you know, yay, Libertarian Party, go out there and, you know, so you can have the jackboot on your throat. I mean, let's not. Let's go have some fun. Let's go free some minds.
That's wonderful, Ernie. You are a great proponent of that. Unfortunately, the reality of ballot access laws and oodles of money required to get on TV and all of the nastiness that the man has built to get access to the power isn't necessarily related to your passion.
Not directly the way you think. I mean, you look at the Lovolution and the creation of Campaign for Liberty and all the activism that still goes on here, and the revolution continues, and the people that are precinct committeemen, they go in the party, and they have, because every time they have a big Republican thing, we own it. I mean, you know, it's a Tea Party, or it's the county convention, the city convention, the state conventions. We're, you know, hello. I mean, you know, we own this stuff. So we play just from a different direction. And the thing is that, you know, the argument that doesn't count, we have to do it the way that fill out the government forms. You know, the McCain-Feingold thing. We have to be structured in such a way that we can comply with all of their forms. I'm like, well, first, I'm like, how come we're not challenging it? That was my first question. And the other thing is that, do we have to structure it that way? Ballot status belongs to the parties, not national party. You know, in 2000, Arizona had a different presidential candidate. well, it wasn't our fault. Nashville got stupid. So I'm going, you know, this is, there is so much more behind this. And from an activist standpoint, we understand it. We know what powers this entire thing. Individual minds making decisions. And that is where I focus my energy. I couldn't possibly care less about the bad guys. I want to focus on us. It'll take care of the rest.